Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Payne and Pendergast is driven by West Point Lincoln at Katy Freeway. 1 mile west of the Beltway, exit Kirkwood, under the giant American flag.
Live from the Twin Peaks studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast with you. Seth, you got a look on your face. What's going on?
I was thinking, you know, as in our undying and never-ending quest to be the best in the world.
Yeah.
Which we're not exactly sure how you judge that or anything on a local sports radio show, but... to be the best in the world on our local sports radio show, I was watching yet another documentary about Bob Dylan last night, and because he's fascinating, but I think the biggest thing that jumps out to me is that he, despite having so much commercial success, he genuinely kind of just followed his own path into what he wanted to do next, even though at times, like when he started, when he went electric, he basically lost his entire audience. Like, he was getting booed by gentle hippies on an entire tour because he was playing electric rock music, and they didn't like it. So these gentle hippies were booing the hell out of him, calling him Judas, all this stuff. But, like, that's where he wanted to move musically.
Yeah.
And then he went in, and then he started, and then he went more into, like, blues and gospel almost.
Yeah.
Like, he went, or, in country, and, like, he was just gonna do what he was gonna do. But it was always unique. And I tell you, I don't know how to apply that to our show in a sports radio context. I don't know, not quite as much. Like room for creative improv. I'm not sure.
Like we should just start talking about cooking or politics.
Like, don't change our genre completely.
Yeah, that's
oh,
what he
that's
did,
true.
Right?
Yeah,
I mean, he's just changing
he
the type
went from
of music.
Folk to rock, then yeah. More into like almost blues country.
Yeah. We should really do that and see how long it takes management to come. We'll put a lock on the studio and see how long it takes management to come rip the door open.
That's like it's a good strategy for a social media person. If you're a podcaster or something, you might be like, you know what? Not anymore. I'm done with sports. Clay Travis has kind of done that. He transitioned into politics over sport, like in a big way. Other guys, so did what's his name? Olbermann, right? He did it.
Yes.
He transitioned from sports into politics and then back to sports.
Yep.
So, yeah, I don't think that's what I want to do. I want to be the best in the world as a sports/talk format.
Yes, yes.
I think there are elements where we've kind of evolved into being, since it's 2025, and we can include the listeners in this conversation a little bit, or a lot bit, actually. Like, we've transitioned into the guy talk from the early 2000s, that was the big thing. It was almost like a lot of sports shows were like 25% sports, 75%. Are you a boob guy or a butt guy?
We've moved
really far away from the boobs and butts.
Yes.
And I would say we're all like almost exclusively sports with like a little sprinkle, 2 or 3 minutes per segment every now and then on lifestyle stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Would we get booed at our appearances if all of a sudden we started going like 50-50 sports/lifestyle
stuff? Talking about our clothes. You know, just started talking about our drip and things like that. Yeah.
Feels like it's not swarm enough.
Right.
Maybe we'd get booed, but in doing so, we would end up with a larger audience of people that wanted us for our rock music / boob takes.
I'm going to tell you right now, like what Bob Dylan sounds like. I've watched none of these documentaries about Bob Dylan that you've watched, and I've not seen the movie that's out about Bob Dylan with actors in it.
I haven't seen that yet either.
I've heard it's really good, and I'll probably go see it. But Bob Dylan sounds like one of those musicians that annoys the hell out of me. When I go to see their music and they decide to play their whole new album that I don't give a crap about, like, that's annoying to me.
Well, he's a really, you know, he's still touring constantly and performing.
Is it really?
And he's very open about, like, you know, I can't write songs the way I used to. It's just not in me anymore. But he still writes songs and he's still putting out content. He just loves going out and performing.
Does he play all his new stuff or does he play the old stuff?
I'm guessing he mixes it up a little bit.
Okay.
But a lot of the people that probably go to watch him now are also just, they're lifelong Bob Dylan fans that just appreciate. See it. They want to hear.
Sure, yeah.
They might want to hear his new stuff.
You don't even care.
A deadhead is going to want a much different playlist than when you or I show up to a dead concert.
Yeah, not playing Touch of Grey. What the hell?
Play all of your 3.5 minute long pop songs. Damn it.
Yeah.
Why are you playing non pop songs?
D'Amico Ryans, his coach's show. Good watch if you can find it. If you can listen to it here on Sports Radio 610. John Harris and Mark Vandermeer do a great job with the Texans head coach. Here's D'Amico Ryans this week on newcomer Deontay Johnson.
Yeah, no, it's late in the season. Our last game, we add a new guy to our roster, but I told the guys, throw the kitchen sink in and let's see what he can absorb, see what he can handle, and go out here versus Tennessee and let's see what he can do. We know he's a talented player. He's proven that at multiple stops. It's just a matter of him just coming in and, man, how much can he pick up and how can he come out and help us?
Yep.
And we'll see that this game, try to give him some opportunities there. And as I mentioned, Deontay, man, it's a fresh start with me.
Yep.
Every guy that I get is fresh start. I really don't care what happened in the past. Like, it's about the present and how do you attack it and how can you come and help our football team.
Yep.
All right. What do you think the best case scenario is with Deontay Johnson here?
I think, honestly, that he's out there all the time, and that because he's a speed threat and because there's a little bit of an X factor element to him, there's no tendencies on him, that you just go ahead and with Deontay Johnson, everything he wanted in Baltimore, that he would be more of a focal point and everything, he gets it, and maybe it lasts 2 weeks, maybe it lasts three. I'm skeptical that it'll last four,
right.
But he would be a part of it. If it lasts 4 weeks,
he might be back.
I'm thinking it's almost in this. To me, it's almost it's almost a requirement that he's productive, like that, or at the very least, he's out there and he's getting targets because he's loosening things up for Nico Collins and everything else. This is a weird thing to say that on the surface of it, it sounds stupid as hell, but in some ways, I look at Deontay Johnson as a critical X factor in whether or not the Texans can subsist.
Bingo. If you and I started making a list of Texans based on indispensability, C.J. Stroud is obviously, I don't care what kind of year C.J.'s having, he's number one because he's the quarterback. And then it's Danielle Hunter, Will Anderson, Nico Collins. It's Derek Stingley Jr., all those things, Lassiter because of the lack of depth. I don't know that you get past like 10 or 12 and not put Deontay Johnson's name just because of the element that he brings to the team.
If you look at the way the Texans' offense was operating up until Tank Dell's injury in the Chiefs game,
yes,
including the touchdown that he scored as he was getting injured,
yes,
there was so much of that game offensively that looked like, yes, oh, this is the way it should look. Oh, wow. You're seeing zone coverage, so Tank can slice people up underneath. Or, oh, look at, he's in man coverage. He's going to beat his guy. And CJ had enough time to get the ball to those guys. Or when he didn't have time, he was throwing it underneath. That's the way it's supposed to look.
Yeah.
And then it was gone. Like, we had 2.5 quarters, or what was it, 2.75 quarters of that version of offensive football, and maybe they could have built on that, and then you lose Tank Dell's speed, and you got what we got last week was, man, that is a plodding group out there. Like, they might as well be wearing barn boots. There's no speed. The timing and the spacing on routes was off. Everything was too slow. It reminded me of when Tom Brady was playing in the flu game at NRG Stadium, where they caught him on the sideline saying, we need to be faster.
Yes.
But those guys at that time couldn't get faster, and the Texans receiving core and tight end group, like, they can't get faster.
No.
They are who they are.
No, but they got faster with Deontay Johnson in the building, to your point. And here was Nick Caserio. I think Nick alludes to something here that I think probably confirms what a lot of us thought about maybe some of the thought process behind claiming Deontay Johnson off waivers.
Yeah, our philosophy is always just look to take advantage of opportunities when they present themselves. You don't really know when that's going to happen, right, whether it's week 8, week 12, week 16. So we look at the waiver wire every day. Pro scouting staff does a great job, and then we have discussions about it. We talk about it as a staff. Ultimately, you make a decision, well, does this make sense or not?
Right.
I think the situation with Tank maybe, you know, said, hey, you missed an opportunity for us to bring in a good football player. He's a lot of experience. So Deontay's been a productive player in this league for a number of years, a skilled player, even going back to his Toledo days. I mean, this is a player, you know, I actually had the opportunity to work him out, spend the day on campus with him when he was coming out. I think it was year him and Woodside, I think, they came out or around the same time. So he's got a good skill set. He's athletic. He's fast. He's got good quickness. He's been productive. So when you get a player this late, obviously you can't teach him everything.
Right.
You just want to try to give him some small doses so he can go out there and actually practice. And then if he has an opportunity to play, go out there and perform at a, you know, at a high level.
All right, so two things interesting to me there. One is Nick talking about, you know, he can't absorb everything, so you give him some specific things. Right after we heard D'Amico Ryan say, throw the kitchen sink at him. So that's interesting to me. But I think Nick confirms it there. Like, if Tank Dell were healthy, they would not have picked up Deontay Johnson off of waivers.
Yeah.
You know, he alluded to the Tank situation there. And part of me says, I don't know, maybe you should. Even if Tank were healthy, that might not have been a bad idea to pick him up, considering you came into the season thinking it was going to be Nico, Tank, and Diggs.
Uh-huh.
And the offense was still the first half and change against Kansas City, notwithstanding, this was still an offense that looked like it could have used more weapons. It's irrelevant now, but clearly the Tank Dell injury was the impetus for them putting a claim in on Johnson.
Well, Sean, I'll credit you with early on saying, look, the as much as people were hung up on, hey, could they have 3,000-yard receivers and everything, you were steadfastly making the point that, hey, Stephon Diggs is 31 years old. Nico Collins has an injury history. Tank Dell has like an injury history in a brief career, but he's tiny. That there's a very good possibility that in the majority of games, you're only going to have two of those guys.
Yeah.
So it's as much about depth. Even though you got three starter caliber players, you almost look at it that way. And that's how it played out, but almost too much.
To the extreme, yeah.
Yeah. Like they had depth in the form of multiple capable starters.
Mm-hmm.
It was an embarrassment of riches, and now that's gone. It's evaporated.
Yep. So that'll be easily one of the biggest things to watch in this game on Sunday is the incorporation of Deontay Johnson into things.
Real quick summation on one of the comments we got on YouTube from God's Time about if we alienated our whole audience by switching things up. He said, that's not your genre, all created. It's your genre. I think what he means is, and then he says, all created by one specific group. I think he's talking about sports radio listeners. Right. What I would say is, it's there's different genres of sports radio, and there's a spectrum of like some shows are 100% sports, and then there's other shows like the Dan Le Batard show, a couple of shows up in New England that are incredibly successful. They might be like 25% sports.
Yes.
And then 75%. Really, the genre of radio that we're in, if you break down to the business side of things, is really, it's men 25 to 54.
Yep.
Like, that's our core demographic that advertisers care about and everything else like that. So it's like, okay, which segment of the men 25 to 54 who want to listen to talk radio that, you know, like, that's not political or newsy that's the genre.
Yep. Yep.
It's entertain. It's men 25 to 54 with stuff that doesn't actually matter.
That's right.
It's anything. It's not politics. Or news or anything like that. It's all the stuff that's genuinely entertainment.
Yes. But we're going to get just as worked up and angry about it if we have to, okay?
That's the fun of it all.
If we have to, yeah.
Well, it's just like playing a sport itself. Yeah. It's all a construct.
Yes.
It's all fake.
It's manufactured.
You know, and yet you latch onto it.
It works.
And like when you're playing the sport, it's war. You know, that's what we humans do. We have a need to go out and simulate
things. That's right. So let's get in the next segment emotional about C.J. Stroud's sophomore slump. I like this piece that Jonathan Alexander did. Does this make you feel better or worse about the year that C.J. Stroud is having right now? We will dig into this coming up next.